The city was drowning in autumn. Leaves danced across the cobbled streets of Prague, golden and rustling like old secrets. In a quiet corner of the old town, nestled between a forgotten apothecary and a clockmaker's shop, stood a small, ivy-covered bookstore, Ink and Echo. Its wooden sign creaked in the wind, and the smell of parchment, ink, and dust hung in the air like a spell. It was here that Alara Vondrak lived most of her days. The bookstore was her inheritance and her refuge, passed down from her grandfather, who once whispered to her as a child, "Books remember the things we forget." Alara had held on to that. She was quiet, observant, and solitary, hiding her heart behind pages and poetry. But sometimes, in the silence between the aisles, she felt the presence of something more, of stories unfinished, of lives that never found their endings. And then he walked in. It was a rainy Tuesday morning. The bell above the door tinkled softly, and a gust of wind blew in the scent of rain, and something else, something familiar. Alara looked up from the counter. He was tall, with dark hair soaked from the rain, a gray scarf draped haphazardly around his neck. His eyes were the kind that knew sadness in his hands. His hands looked like they once wrote verses that meant something. "Do you have anything by Anna Servina?" he asked, voice low, almost hesitant. Alara blinked. That name hadn't been spoken aloud in years. "She's not widely published," she said. "Only a few poems in forgotten literary journals. Most people don't know her." "I know," he replied, with a strange intensity in his gaze. "But I need to find her." A pause hung between them, weighty with unspoken questions. "I might have something," Alara murmured, motioning him to follow. They weaved through the labyrinth of bookshelves, stopping before a high wooden cabinet. She pulled down a thin, yellowed volume, Whispers Between Raindrops. The cover was cracked, and the pages smelled like time. "She wrote this when she was 17, Alara said. "It was never officially released. Only 30 copies exist." He reached for it with a trembling hand, brushing her fingers. Alara's heart stuttered. "How do you know her?" she asked. "She was my muse," he said softly. "And I let her go." The forgotten letters, his name was Milos Hart, a writer who once stirred the hearts of a generation. 10 years ago, he published The Language of Skin, a novel that sold across Europe. Then he disappeared. No interviews. No new books. Just silence. Over the next few days, Milos kept coming back to the bookstore. He never said much, only leafed through obscure anthologies and faded diaries. Alara watched him quietly, curious, drawn to the weight he carried. It wasn't just grief, it was regret. One evening, as she was shelving a box of old donations, she found something strange, a sealed envelope tucked inside a book titled Love, Unspoken. It was yellow with age, addressed in delicate script. "To Milos, when the words come back to you." Her breath caught. She turned the envelope over, but didn't open it. Instead, she waited until he returned. When she handed it to him, Milos froze. His fingers gripped the edges tightly. "I thought I lost this," he whispered. "She wrote this the day I left." And slowly, he began to tell the story. 10 years ago, in a sunlit village near the Bohemian woods, Milos had met Anna Servina, a young poet with wildfire in her spirit. She painted with words, loved the sound of storms, and believed that language could resurrect the dead. They fell in love on the branches of a chestnut tree, reciting Neruda and Plath. Their days were filled with poetry, bare feet in rivers, wine-stained evenings. But Milos, driven by ambition and haunted by the death of his brother, left to chase fame. He promised a return. He never did. "I told myself I was preserving her memory by not contacting her," he said. "But in truth, I was a coward. I thought success would silence the ache." But the words dried up. Alara listened, her heart swelling with a strange mixture of sympathy and yearning. She had loved silently once too. She knew how it felt to be forgotten by someone who promised forever. "What happened to her?" he asked finally. "Do you know?" Alara hesitated. She stopped publishing. She vanished from the literary circles. Some say she moved to the mountains. Others say she disappeared after her parents died. Milos looked down at the unopened letter. "Will you read it?" she asked gently. He shook his head. Not yet. A connection beyond pages. In the weeks that followed, Milosh and Alara grew closer. He would come in the morning, help her catalog rare books, sometimes bring coffee from the cafe across the street. He never pressured her with conversation. Instead, their silences became comfortable, like well-worn bookmarks between chapters. They spoke of philosophy, poetry, and the spaces between things, the quiet where meaning lingers. Alara began to feel something she hadn't in years, that maybe love didn't have a burn. Maybe it could simmer, warm and slow. One evening, they sat on the bookstore floor, surrounded by open books and fading light. Alara found an old volume of letters written between lovers during the Second World War. She read one aloud. "If I could write in the air, I would tattoo the sky with your name. But for now, I write in silence, hoping my words find you." Milosh looked at her, eyes tender. "Do you believe words can heal?" he asked. "I believe," she said, "that lost words are never truly gone. They wait for the right heart to find them again." He smiled, and in that moment, something shifted. The past returns, but peace is a fragile thing. One day, a woman entered the shop. She was in her early 40s, wrapped in a long wool coat, with auburn hair and eyes like frost. "I'm looking for Milosh Hart," she said. Alara's stomach twisted. "He's not here right now. May I ask who's looking for him?" The woman hesitated. Then she placed something on the counter. It was a photograph. Milosh and Anna, arms around each other, standing under a chestnut tree in bloom. "I'm Anna's sister," she said. "My name is Lenka." Alara's breath hitched. "I thought she's alive. She lives in a cabin in the Sudeten Mountains. She never moved on. Never stopped writing. Just stopped sharing." Alara felt the ground shift beneath her. She wrote to him for years. Dozens of letters. They all came back unopened. She looked into Alara's eyes. "Tell him if he wants answers. He knows where to go." She turned to leave but paused at the door. "Be careful with him. He's searching for more than her. He's looking for himself." Letters in the wind for hours after Lenka left. Alara sat at the counter, staring at the photo she had left behind. Milosh and Anna, so young, so tangled in each other. Their smiles were unguarded, full of the kind of love that either writes legends or ends in silence. The photograph felt like a ghost, and Alara felt like a quiet bystander in a story that had once paused, only now continuing without her. When Milosh arrived that evening, she didn't say anything at first. He noticed a photograph on the counter, and his face went still. "She came," he asked. "Yes," Alara replied, voice soft. "She said Anna's alive." Milosh slowly sat down, as if the weight of the news had weakened his knees. "She's in the mountains," Alara continued, still writing. "But she never sent her poems out again." He looked down at the unopened letter still in his coat pocket. Fingers brushing over its edges like a wound, he wasn't ready to press. "I thought I ruined everything," he whispered. "That she would never want to see me again." Alara searched his face for traces of the man who had been loved so deeply, and the boy who had walked away from it. Sometimes, the ones we leave behind carry the heaviest parts of our story. Milosh looked up at her then. "And what if she no longer wants to be part of mine?" Alara smiled gently, the ache behind her eyes well hidden. "Then at least you'll know, and you won't have to write with ghosts anymore." The journey north, it took 2 days to arrange everything. Alara helped him find a map of the Sudeten Mountains, highlighted the winding road to the pine forest, and even gave him an old copy of Anna's earliest poems. She knew that part of her heart was folding itself into a suitcase he would carry, but she didn't say it. On the morning of his departure, he stood at the door of Ink and Echo, scarf wrapped, hands tucked in his coat. His eyes met hers, hesitant, grateful. "Thank you," he said simply. "For what?" she asked, trying to smile through the pressure in her chest. "For believing that the words could come back." He left the letter on the counter. "Will you read it for me?" he asked. "If she refuses to see me, at least someone should know what I never said." She nodded, unable to speak. And then he was gone. Echoes of the mountain, the cabin sat on the edge of a forest clearing, chimney puffing gentle smoke into the gray sky. It was surrounded by frost-tipped trees, and the air carried a hush that only snow can bring. Milos stood at the edge of the woods for a long time, uncertain if he should approach. Finally, he knocked. The door opened slowly. And there she was, Anna. Her auburn hair was tied back loosely, silver strands hidden in the fire. Her eyes, once full of lightning, now held the steady glow of smoldering coals. She looked at him, not with anger, not with surprise, but with the quiet knowledge of a woman who had long learned how to carry pain. "I heard you were alive," he said. "And I heard you finally read something other than your own thoughts," she replied calmly. He laughed, short, almost bitter. "I deserve that." Anna motioned for him to enter. The cabin smelled of lavender and burnt wood. The shelves were overflowing with notebooks, poems scribbled in the margins of cookbooks, even verses stitched into the hems of curtains. "You still write?" he whispered in awe. "Writing was never for the world," she said, pouring tea. "It was for the ache. I just stopped needing anyone else to understand it." They sat in silence for a long while. Finally, he reached into his coat. "I brought this," he said, offering her the old poetry volume Alara had given him. "And I left your last letter with someone who cares about words as much as we used to." Anna raised an eyebrow. "Someone else?" "A woman named Alara. She owns the bookstore where I found your voice again." Anna looked at him thoughtfully. "And do you love her?" Milos opened his mouth, then closed it. "I don't know. Maybe. Not in the way I loved you. But maybe in the way love survives after you've buried its ghosts." She nodded. "Sometimes we meet someone who picks up our broken pieces. Not to fix us. Just to remind us we're still worth holding." A letter unread back in Prague. Alara sat in the bookstore's attic, surrounded by candlelight. The letter trembled in her hands. She had debated for days whether she had the right to open it. But Milos had asked, and something inside her needed to know the words he never said. She unfolded it slowly. "Anna, I told myself silence was mercy, that letting you go without goodbye would spare you pain. But that was a lie I wrote to protect my cowardice. You were the fire I couldn't hold, not because it burned, but because I feared what I'd lose when it went out. I ran, not from you, but from the parts of me I didn't want you to see. The grief, the emptiness, the shadows left by my brother's death. But you saw them anyway, and loved me through them. I was too blind to see that love doesn't ask for perfection. It asks for presence. I have spent 10 years chasing words that meant nothing, because the only words that ever mattered were the ones I left unsaid. I still love you, not with expectation, but with truth. If you ever forgive me, I'll be waiting in the silence between your poems. Always." Milos Alara pressed a letter to her chest and cried, not for Milos, not for Anna, but for every love that arrives too late, and every heart that keeps reading long after the final page has been turned. What's meant to stay a week past? Then another. One snowy morning, the door of Ink and Echo creaked open. Alara looked up, expecting another student or tourist looking for Kafka. But instead, Anna Servina stood there, wrapped in a wool coat and eyes full of knowing. "I heard you read the letter," she said gently. Alara nodded, unsure what to say. "I wanted to meet the woman who made him remember how to feel." "I didn't do much," Alara replied. "Just handed him the right book." "That's more than most do," Anna said with a small smile. They sat together in the reading corner, two women who knew the weight of unsent words and the ache of waiting. "Will you forgive him?" Alara asked. "I already did," Anna said. "But I won't go back." Alara blinked. "You won't?" "No," Anna said. "He loved who I was, not who I've become. And that's okay. Some love stories are meant to burn like meteors, brilliant, fast, and then gone." A pause. "Let him go, if he comes back to you," Anna said gently. "He spent years living in the past. Someone needs to help him write something new." The new beginning winter arrived in Prague like confession, quiet, unrelenting, and beautiful in its darkness. The streets wore white coats, the windows fogged with stories unspoken, and the city seemed to slow down to listen. Alara returned to her rhythms at Ink and Echo, but something had changed. Her steps were softer, her silences deeper. She no longer wondered if Milos would come back. She only wondered what he would return for. The letter he left behind sat under the counter in a small velvet box. She never showed it to anyone again. It was no longer his apology. It had become hers too, a memory of what it meant to love, let go, and still keep the door slightly ajar. And then one late afternoon, he returned. Returned to the ashes, Milosh stepped into the bookstore just as the sun dipped behind the horizon. His coat was dusted with snow, his scarf tighter than before. He stood there at the doorway, as if asking permission to enter a world he might have forfeited. Ilara looked up. She didn't smile right away. "You look colder," she said. He nodded. "The mountains teach you that healing doesn't come with comfort." She walked around the counter, slow and measured, her gaze searching his. "How is she?" "Still brilliant," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "Still burning. But we've outgrown the language we once spoke." Ilara didn't speak. "She forgave me," he added. "But she told me to stop, writing her into every silence." Ilara finally smiled, soft and sad. "And will you?" He stepped closer. "That depends on who I'm writing next." The silence between the days that followed were delicate. Milosh didn't press. Ilara didn't offer. They moved through the shop like dancers in a quiet routine. Cataloging books. Sharing poems. Brushing fingers accidentally on purpose. They knew there was something growing, but they didn't name it. Naming things had broken hearts before. One evening, Ilara sat cross-legged on the wooden floor of the poetry section, Milosh beside her. The store was closed, and a jazz record played faintly in the background. He handed her a folded page. "What's this?" she asked. "My first new words," he said. "In 10 years. She opened it. In the space where ink once bled, I found her, not in fire, but in breath. She never asked to be remembered, only noticed. And so I wrote not a poem, but a life." Ilara stared at the lines, heart racing. "Is this about her?" she asked. "No," he said, eyes locked on hers. "It's about you." The confession later that night. Ilara stood on the bookstore balcony, snow falling gently around her. The city lights shimmered in the haze, and she wrapped her coat tighter. Milosh joined her, two cups of tea in hand. "I never believed in second chances," she said, "until you brought her name into this shop." He looked at her, careful waiting. "I used to think love was something loud, that it had to sweep you off your feet or break you completely. But maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's just showing up." He reached for her hand. "I thought I had to finish one story before starting another," he said. "But I realize that we carry our past into everything. The trick is knowing how much of it to set down." Ilara looked at their fingers, entwined in the cold. "Then let's not write an ending," she whispered. "Let's begin something new." Spring and stories months passed. The snow melted. The trees outside ink and echo bloomed with pink blossoms. People returned to the city, and the bookstore began to fill with laughter, readers, and love. Milosh published a new collection, The Words We Found, dedicated to the woman who made silence a sanctuary. It became a quiet success, not because of fame, but because it felt real. Raw. Present. Ilara, for the first time in years, submitted her own poems to a literary journal. They were accepted. Her verses spoke of books that whispered, hands that didn't ask to be held, and letters that arrived too late, but still mattered. They didn't rush. They didn't promise forever. They simply wrote together, one sentence, one heartbeat, one page at a time. A letter left behind years later. After Lara's grandmother passed away, she found an old box in the attic of the house she inherited. Inside was a faded letter with no envelope. It read, "To the one who find this, if you're reading this, you are someone who believes in the power of lost words. Know this love, like stories, is never truly over. It just waits, tucked inside dusty pages and quiet hearts, for someone to begin again. Right, not for the world. For yourself. For the ones you lost. And for the ones you'll find. And if one day your heart feels full enough to burst, share it. Because someone, somewhere, is still waiting to be seen." There was no name signed. Only a date. Ilara placed it in the front display window of Ink and Echo. And every person who read it felt something they couldn't quite name. Final scene. The bookstore at dusk on a warm spring evening. As twilight settled over Prague, the bookstore lights glowed golden. Miloš and Alara sat behind the counter, sipping tea, the door slightly ajar to let in the scent of lilacs. A young couple entered, asking if they could read poetry aloud in the corner. Of course, Alara smiled. As the soft voices filled the space, Miloš turned to her. Do you ever miss her? He asked. Anna. Alara nodded. Sometimes. But I'm learning that missing isn't the same as wanting to go back. And you? I still miss who I used to be, he admitted. But I'm starting to like the man who writes for today. They sat in silence again. But this time, it wasn't about what was lost. It was about what had been found.